want you to open your Bibles at the Psalm number 85, the 85th Psalm. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation. Cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Ending our lesson at the verse 6. There is no doubt about it that the Church of Jesus Christ is in need of the refining and reviving power of the Spirit of God. We live in a day of spiritual declension, spiritual deadness. Many Christians pray very little. And when they do pray, they don't believe that God's going to answer their prayers anyway. And there is love of pleasure among the saints rather than the love of God. It is interesting to note that the word revival and revive occurs some 8 times. In the Old Testament. Why is there those mentions of revival in the Old Testament when the very important part of the Bible is the New Testament and the coming of the Holy Spirit of God? Well, the reason is this, that the Old Testament covered a large number of years. The New Testament only covers a period and was written within about 60 years. So the church of the New Testament had its fire from the day of Pentecost. But the Old Testament saints had to live out long generations. Things happened during those generations. The tide went in and out. And grievous sins conquered the people of God. But yet God did not leave His people. But God gave them great promises about His reviving work. Turn over with me first of all, to the book of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, you will discover the fact that this word, the first time it occurs in the scriptures, the word revival and revive, it occurs in Nehemiah at the chapter 4. And at the verse 2. And it was spoken by an apostate. The first mention of revival came out of the mouth of an apostate. And you can read about him in the 4th chapter of Nehemiah. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build up the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? First mention of revival in the Bible. And that word revive came from the mouth of an apostate. And what was he saying? He was saying there's no such thing can happen. Who do these Jews think they are? They have walls that are burned and covered with heaps of rubbish. Do they believe that they are going to revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish? The devil and his crowd hates the very thought of revival, because revival time is a miracle time. And these men not only thought that they would make an end in a day, but they were determined that God had brought them there under the leadership of Nehemiah what to do to have a revival, to take the stones out of the rubbish. And the city of Jerusalem burned with fire, a heap of rubbish, to change it again. Preparing, of course, for better days ahead for Jerusalem. There is not a situation that revival cannot conquer. There's not a set of circumstances in the church that revival cannot cure. There's not a need in the hearts of man that a great reviving of the Spirit of God cannot fully and completely satisfy. So mark clearly that verse. Look at it often. You look around Christendom today and we can see the rubble. We can see the rubbish. We can see the great places of the past which were used by the power of God for the becoming the birthplace of thousands of souls. And today, they're heaps of rubble. But thank God, we can face the Sanballats and Tobiah the Ammonite, we can face both of them because we know that God can bring out of the rubbish a mighty revival of true religion. And that's the miracle of miracles. And we need to keep that before us as we kneel down to pray. I don't know what the devil says to you when you kneel down to pray, but I know what he says to me. You don't need to be a fool. There's going to be no revival. Things will get worse instead of better, for I know what I'm doing. And I just say, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That's what the Lord said to him. Get behind me, Satan. God is going to give his church a mighty revival. There is no doubt about it. We have the conditions that's calling to heaven for a revival. A cold and lifeless church. Pleasure-seeking Christians. Compromise with sin and the things of the world. It's a circumstance like that that requires God to intervene. Revival is the intervention of God. Is God coming down to do something for His people? How bad it was in Egypt. Every home, the home of a slave. Every Jewish man out in the morning to wear the collar of the slave and to do with the whipping on his back and the blood running down his body what the Egyptians said he must do. And it would seem that the whole of Israel was going to be destroyed and overcome. And then every male child was to be butchered. And I can see the mothers of newly born children, and they're looking at the river Nile, and it's filled with little baby bodies thrown in at the order of Pharaoh. My, those were terrible days for Israel, but it was the beginning of deliverance. The Passover was going to come. God was going to loose them and bring them forth and eventually plant them in the land that He had appointed for them. And it doesn't matter how many bombs are developed by Israel's enemies. The children of God, the earthly children of God, the Jewish people, will be on earth when the Lord comes. And they'll be there to say, "Who pierced your hand, Lord Jesus? Who gave you these wounds?" It's all going to happen as this blessed old book has told us. Hallelujah! For the Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever. So remember, first time the word revive or a revival was mentioned, it was mentioned by an old apostate, the head of the World Council of Churches, the Pope of his day, and he laughed at the people of Israel. But God had a purpose. God's purpose will succeed. So we have this revival facing the awful turmoil of persecution. Terrible persecution. But then when we look again, we turn over to that psalm that we read part of tonight. Turn over with me to the Psalm 85. What does it say? It says there concerning the Lord, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Well, He did it before. He did it for the children of Israel. He can do it for you. People of the era of the Psalms, that thy people may rejoice. You know, there's not many rejoicing Christians today. Billy Sunday said, you know, the majority of Christians in America, you would think their heavenly Father had died and hadn't left them $1 piece in His will. It's a good statement. Miserable Christians. You shouldn't be miserable, you should be merry. You're the child of a king. It doesn't matter whether your money is worth anything. You're a real millionaire. You have mansions in the sky. You have all the fullness of the Godhead for you. And yet God's people can hardly laugh. I often think that God's people must all have false teeth. And they're afraid if they really smiled, they would lose their teeth. And then they would have to go and pay for new teeth. Oh, my friends, let's waken up to the fact, wilt thou not revive us, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'd like to challenge you. How many minutes today did you spend rejoicing? How many times today did you burst forth in song? I know you're not a good singer, but you can burst forth in song. I often sing in the back of the car, and my two police drivers don't think I'm a good singer, but they have to listen. They're forced to listen. Why shouldn't we sing? Rejoice! You're a child of the King. You're in the homeward path to heaven. Nothing's going to destroy your hope and peace and happiness for all eternity. He's promised to answer your prayers. And He has promised that He'll melt the ice, clear away the snow, and bring you to sunshine and happiness. All right? Start singing from tomorrow. Or sing all the way home. And when the people see you entering your house, they'll say that's one of those daft fellows who goes to that church that Paisley has over in the Ravenhill Road. The laugh is on the devil. Hallelujah. We're the children of the King. And that brings us to that prayer. That's a prayer. Wilt thou not revive us? Persecution. A prayer. And then, thank God, we have a great promise. You turn over to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. You will find there, I haven't got the right reference, but it's a reference to a God going to do a great work of blessing. And it's about the promise. And I haven't put down the right reference in the book here, but you can go and find that. That's one for you to look for. A promise about revival. Verse 7, is it? Verse 7. Ah, yes, that's it. I wasn't sleeping when I made this. Put it in a minute. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Here's a fellow walking in the midst of trouble. Do you know anything about that? Right hand trouble, left hand trouble. Troubles under your feet, troubles above your head, trouble by your side, trouble with your wife, trouble with your husband, trouble with your children, trouble with the in-laws and outlaws and all the rest of them. You're in trouble. But what did the psalmist do? He said, though I walk in the midst of... You know, he didn't lie down. Notice he was walking. He wasn't knocked down. He was walking. And he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Yeah. God is in the business of revival. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of thine enemies. God hasn't called any of his people to be non-combatants. They're all recruited. They're all fighting troops. They should have all their armor on. And they should have the cartridges not in their belt but in their guns. And they should be ready for action. I will stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of thine enemies. And you're such glorious fighters you'll win. No, says thy right hand shall save me. Thy right hand. God's going to interfere in this battle and give us His right hand. Oh, brother, believe it. Oh, receive it. And ask God every day to give you the right hand of deliverance against the wrath of the enemies. What a wonderful thing is to walk arm in arm with Christ. To walk in the company of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To be in the company of the Savior. Never to part company with Christ. Not of God's people part company with the Lord, because they go to places the Lord will not go with them. And so they part company with the Lord. But we should remain in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a pleasant thing it is to walk in the light with Christ. To be able to put up our hand and hold the Lord's hand. And to know that the Lord is with us of a truth. Turn over to Isaiah 57 and verse 15, and you'll get another reference to revival. For thus saith the High and Lofty One. 15th verse, 57th chapter of Isaiah. He's a high and lofty one. He inhabits eternity. We're going to live in eternity, but we'll not inhabit it. That is, we'll not fill the whole place, but the Lord fills the whole place. He inhabits eternity. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is the only verse in the Bible that revival occurs twice. The same word. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, thank God, there's more to follow with the Lord. He has a job to do for us, and he will do it for the Lord's sake. And then, when we go over to the book of Hosea, we will find there a reference to revival again. And in the book of Hosea, it is found twice. You'll find it in the 6th chapter, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 2. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Think of it. What a text. What a truth we have set forth for us here. A truth of 2 days he will revive us. And the third day, which is resurrection day, the third day. The Lord rose on the third day. He will raise us up. And we shall live. Some people live. Some people live, but they don't know it. And they look dead. And everything they do it in a dead way. Not in a hurry. My mother used to say to me, Ian, when I ask you to do something, do it in a hurry and get back in here quickly and I'll have someone else for you to do. But God's people, they don't do the Lord's work in a hurry. There's no haste about them. It was said of John Wesley, he was out of breath running after sinners in the road to hell. What a testimony. Have you ever been out of breath running after sinners? Have you? This is what God is talking to us about here. And then in that book again, if you turn over to the last chapter, it says, they shall dwell under his shadow. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Think of that text. What a blessing and a promise. Dwelling under God's shadow. Isn't that wonderful? Did you feel the shadow of God upon you today? Did you? It says here that he'll revive us as the corn and will grow as the vine. And you'll not need to go there to the chemist or the beauty shop, because you'll be ready smelling as Lebanon. Think of that. That's the perfume of God. It's a great thing when you meet a believer who has a perfume of God on him. Something good. There's some Christians I don't like to meet. And when I see them coming, I scoot it. I don't, because they have something miserable to tell you about some believer, some bad news, and it seems that they're bad news. They're worse than the Belfast Telegraph. And you couldn't get much worse than that. But thank God, those that know God will smell as Lebanon. The scent of Jesus on us. Was Robert Murray Meek, not Robert Murray McShane, but Samuel Rutherford had talked about to be so long in the company of Emmanuel that the smell of Emmanuel will be upon us. And the devil hates this perfume of Christ. Oh, what a story we have in this book about revival. And God wants us to see in our day an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sky-blue revival. And we should be praying for it every day. We should be talking about it every day. We should be reading the Bible about it every day. We should be asking questions about it every day. And not a day but should pass that we haven't said to the Lord, how long, O Lord? How long? Until it comes. Old time religion. That's what we need. In our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. And God will send it as we are faithful to Him.